I'm Jeremy Hobson in London, where today the United Kingdom is counting down to its first December election since 1923. Last night, after months of deadlock over Brexit, the House of Commons approved Prime Minister Boris Johnson's request for a December 12th election. That'll give the people another say, kind of, on Britain's exit from the European Union before the new deadline at the end of January. But let's back up for a moment from the daily political drama and remind ourselves why Brexit matters. There are economic reasons, of course. Since the Brexit referendum in 2016, Britain's stock market is only up about 10%, as many investors have stayed on the sidelines or cut back amid the uncertainty. In the same period, U.S. stocks are up more than 30%, and France's stocks are up more than 25%. But for the UK, a country that has a seat at the table for most of the world's major decisions, it's also about national identity and pride, and the history of a country that created a Bill of Rights called the Magna Carta more than eight centuries ago and was considered a global superpower less than one century ago. Does the uncertainty about Brexit mean that Britain's famous stiff upper lip, a mark of stability in the world, is now quivering? In his book, 12 Days That Made Modern Britain, historian Andrew Hindmore traces this moment back to 1973, when the British people voted in another referendum to stay in the European Community, which would become the EU. That, he says, was an acknowledgement of something that had been brewing, that go-it-alone Britain was no longer viable.
Which can be traced right back, if you like, your history to the Suez War, when Britain kind of colluded with France and Israel to fight a war, and America pulled the rug out from underneath it, and it was difficult to defend it as wars go. That led slowly to an elite level recognition that going it alone wasn't a viable option. But at ground level amongst voters, I'm not sure that moment of recognition has ever come quite as starkly. So there has never been a bedrock of support for European Union membership. There was a referendum in 1975. There was something like a two-thirds majority for staying in the European community, European economic community as it was then. That's pretty much the only moment, if you look at the polls, that there was ever a majority for staying in. So in one sense, this isn't out of the blue. It's never been a popular option. Concerns about sovereignty have always been there.
15 years after the UK joined what would become the European Union in 1988, concerns about sovereignty were raised by Britain's Prime Minister at the time, Margaret Thatcher.
Europe will be stronger precisely because it has France as France, Spain as Spain, Britain as Britain, each with its own customs, traditions, and identity. It would be folly to try to fit them into some sort of identikit European personality.
Do you think that speech set the stage for where the UK is today?
Yeah, I think it did. And there's probably, you know, a generation of listeners who'll kind of hear that voice and remember kind of growing up when Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister. And for better or worse, whether they love her or hate her, that voice is just like a blast. It's such a strident speech delivered by such a strident politician. So that's the birthplace, I guess you could argue, of modern Euroscepticism. She launches this broadside against further integration, which ends up being part of the story of why she loses power just a couple of years later. And the generation of Conservative MPs who followed her held that Bruce speech delivered in the College of Europe up as the lodestar of Euroscepticism. And from that moment on, slowly, bit by bit, the argument went from being one about whether Britain needs to avoid further integration, federalism, and slowly, bit by bit, morphed into an argument about whether Britain actually needed to leave. Now, there's a contentious debate there about Margaret Thatcher herself and whether she would have ever favoured leaving. And that's a difficult one to call. But yeah, there's no doubt that's the speech that kind of marks, I guess, the start of the road to Brexit.
It will be an in-out referendum. It is time for the British people to have their say. It is time for us to settle this question about Britain and Europe.
Former Prime Minister David Cameron, back in 2013, announcing that Britain would vote on whether to stay in the European Union. Now, remember, back in 2013, the world was still emerging from the financial crisis of 2008, and Europe was sinking in debt, with countries including Greece, Spain, Italy, and Ireland unable to pay their bills. Andrew Hindmore says that economic mess was also part of the recipe for Brexit.
For me, it goes back to two events, without which where we are would seem pretty unimaginable. First is the financial crisis, which brought to an end 20 years of sustained economic growth. And the second is the MP's expenses scandal in 2009.
Conservative MP Julian Lewis is reported to have claimed nearly £2,400 on kitchen appliances and over £4,800 on redecorating his house,
which destroyed whatever remaining faith there was in the political class amongst ordinary voters. And I think you can trace a line pretty directly from those moments to the groundswell of opinion against European Union membership. And more than anything, because this isn't often about Europe, a sense that things have gone horribly wrong and things have to change.
This is an historic moment from which there can be no turning back. Britain is leaving the European Union. We are going to make our own decisions and our own laws. We are going to take control of the things that matter most to us.
Former Prime Minister Theresa May in 2017 when she triggered Article 50, starting the clock for the official British exit from the European Union, a clock that should have counted down to zero back in March, but there was one little problem.
You should have the luck of the Irish, and you'd wish you was English instead.
No one had yet figured out what to do about the border between Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom, and the Republic of Ireland, which would remain part of the European Union. Would they once again be separated by a hard border that hasn't existed for decades? This is historian Diarmaid Farrador at University College Dublin.
It's been a contested space and a very divisive symbol for almost 100 years. The border is 100 years old next year. It became something, particularly over the course of the 20th century, that attracted violence, that was a very complicating factor, not just in Anglo-Irish relations, but also in relations between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland, because Southern Ireland claimed jurisdiction over Northern Ireland. The Irish Republic claimed jurisdiction over Northern Ireland. And Unionists in Northern Ireland, of course, saw themselves very much as being part of the United Kingdom. So it was always contested in that sense. And one of the interesting things about the Brexit referendum is that it wasn't discussed very much. And part of that has to do with 20 years of a peace process that meant the border was not as contentious an issue, as divisive an issue. We had, in effect, an invisible border, ease of passage across the border. So it didn't feature very prominently in the Brexit referendum campaign. But when it came to the issue of how you manage Britain's exit from the EU, the border then was centre stage, and it actually became the biggest stumbling block.
That's because amid all the nostalgia for a Britain that used to exist, one part of the past that no one wanted to go back to was the violence between Protestants and Catholics that came to a head on Bloody Sunday in 1972. 14 people died when British soldiers opened fire on Catholics marching for civil rights. One of them was 17-year-old Michael Kelly, whose brother John Kelly told us he will never forget that day.
The fact is, where I lay taking cover, my young brother was being shot dead about 40 yards from me. So Bloody Sunday has been a major part of my life ever since.
And the fear of a return to violence still exists, says historian Diarmaid Farrador. He says the border has always been impossible to police.
And there are also those who are still wedded to the idea that the border in Ireland is a completely unacceptable imposition and it needs to be got rid of. And those dissident Republicans, as they would be called now, they would, it was feared, seek to use this Brexit controversy or this new infrastructure around the border in order to reignite their campaigns. And the border had always attracted violence. There was violence on the border in the 1920s, in the 1950s, throughout the Troubles. So because of what it represents in terms of Anglo-Irish history and in terms of it being an obstacle, as Republicans in Ireland see as to their aim, which is Irish unity, they would seek to use any attention around the border or any infrastructure around the border to make their point and to make it violently.
So if the stakes are so high with the Irish border, why didn't this come up before the Brexit referendum so that the British people could fully consider the consequences of leaving the EU?
In 1924, Lord Salisbury, a senior Tory, made this assertion. He said the average English voter has little interest in and even less understanding of Ireland. I think the reason it didn't come up was because that endured, that mindset endured, a profound British ignorance of Irish history and of what the border in Ireland represents and what it means. And because the Brexit referendum and the campaign was very much focused on an English nationalism and this idea of a recreation of supposed English glory days, that the Irish dimension just didn't feature. They've always had their eye, as they would see it, on bigger fish. The Irish question has always been regarded as an irritating one in Britain. There's always been a desire to get it off the table of Downing Street. But the lessons of history, of course, are that these issues come back to bite you on the behind. They don't go away just because you wish them to go away or because you ignore them. Indeed, quite the opposite.
Now that the UK has another Brexit extension and an election coming up in December, issues like the Irish border will no doubt resurface. There are plenty of political divisions about the road ahead, but the history is written, and it's a reminder of how high the stakes are with Brexit.